chapter 16, John chapter 16. Only seven verses tonight. You're probably going to get tired of me introducing where we're at, but I think it's so critical because now I've been, I don't know how long, on John 14, 15, and now we're starting chapter 16. It's Thursday night, the night before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He has just the 11, John 14, John 15, and now John 16. He's giving them key instructions with, they cannot imagine the chaos that's about to begin in their life. We talked about this morning that the Lord hasn't given us the spirit of fear. That's exactly what's about to overwhelm them in just a matter of hours. Fear like they've never felt before. Well, they will run and desert the Lord that they truly love. Great conviction and then great restoration by the Lord, which is so beautiful. And so he gives them instruction, and we see the tenderness of the Lord. And I tell you that to remember, these are really important chapters for you and I when we feel as though the Lord has abandoned us. The Lord has told all of his children, all those that are true believers, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And what's important is you need to get back in the Bible when you're going through tragedy sometimes, because when your head's spinning and the world's turned upside down on you, you need to go back, because sometimes you know it, but what you need to do is you need to really just see it again and rejoice in that and weather the storm. And so these chapters are critical, because these are critical things that you and I need to know in the time of great struggle, great difficulty, when we feel like the Lord let us down. The Lord has never let anybody down. He cannot let anybody down. He will not let anybody down. But it sure does feel that way sometimes. And so let's just read these verses, and then we'll jump into the message tonight. John 16, verse 1. Again, speaking to the 11, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But the things have I told you, these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Or where do you go? Verse 6. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, Holy Spirit, we've talked about this in weeks past, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And then we will talk next week about one of the expanded ministries of the Holy Spirit, and then some people will explain all of that next week. But tonight's message, just how to use truth. How to use truth. It's exactly what Jesus is doing here. When we study Christ, when we want to learn about Jesus Christ, it's always practical. I love the Bible. It's just not information, right? I mean, I like math, but I never liked geometry or trigonometry. And I thought, well, what good's that? You know, I would always ask, you know, like, or calculus, right? How many of you have ever used calculus in real life? Well, howdy-do, I'm happy for you, right? But a lot of us took calculus and we were never using. Frank raised his hand, too. It'd be nice if you knew some. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It'd be nice. But anyway, it's, the plug is not his fault. But so just a few. You took calculus, and, you know. But what I love about the Bible is it's not just information. It's not just truth. It's truth that will make a difference in your life. It's truth that will help you be a better parent. It's truth that will help you better deal with people. That's what I love. Even in John 16, is how to use truth, right? This is an important lesson that Jesus is giving them. Now, they didn't have recorders. Now, what he promised them, you got to understand what he promises. I tell you these things, you'll remember them later. Now, there was absolutely some supernatural work going on there because they didn't have a Bible or the New Testament yet that they could turn back to and say, hey, what was it that he said last night? You know, he already said tonight in these verses that they're filled with sorrow. And so, you know, when you're filled with sorrow, you don't remember a lot. And so, but he says, I'm going to help you remember. But here's the first thing. Use truth to help others. That's critical. It's critical, right? And when I say others, it's, you know, the immediate thing is how to help yourself, how to help your family, but how to help others as well. See, truth, God just doesn't give truth just for the fun of it. He gives truth for our benefit. So look at verse 1. He says, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. And it's important. What I love is, I have two notes under here, right? Just if you get these two notes. When you understand truth, the truth is, what is it? And then why? Right? So, parent, this is important for you to understand that, too. Now, I don't suggest you have to give your three-year-old reasons why you are telling them to do something, right? But as your children grow older, Elizabeth, how old are you? Suggest that you have to explain everything to your four-year-old. But as your children grow older, you want to impart wisdom on them. Right? Here's what my wife and I, we're done, and we wish we could do a lot older. But if we could just do the things that we agreed with, our kids would have been a lot better shape. But we always said, you know, at the time of instruction, there's no discussion. We instruct obey. I will come back later when I'm wanting to impart wisdom to them and help them understand why. I think that is reasonable. But at the time of instruction, we didn't do that in our house because we're not having an argument. I'm the boss. You obey. And I think what we want to teach our kids not to do things that are evil, right? And I always told my kids, if they ever do something that's evil, you don't have to do it. So they were just complaining. And so, you know, they'd be like, I don't have to obey you. So, you know, but I always tell them that. You never have to obey an authority if they tell you to do something. Make sure your kids understand that. Because in Christian homes, when we want to teach them, we want to teach them to be respectful to authority. We want to teach them to obey authority as unto the Lord, right? So when I would instruct my kids, I would say, don't do this. And, you know, we have normal kids. That normal isn't good. A lot of times they wouldn't do it. They'd need a little help. But I would tell them, no, we're not going to discuss it, but go back. And the Lord, the same way. He wants us to understand what the truth is and why he's given that truth. Don't you love that? And I think when we see the Lord Jesus Christ that way, then we ought to model our lives that way. I don't think we ever want people just to do because. I want people to be able to ask why. Do you know, we'll see this later tonight, that the Lord wants us to ask questions. It's okay now. Make sure we have the right spirit, but he wants us to. But understand it's critical to teach the what. Now, look at Matthew 11 in your notes. Matthew 11. This is John the Baptist. John is now in prison. John is now in prison, so you'll see in your notes Matthew chapter 11. And so, you remember the how God used John to be the forerunner of Christ and introduce Christ, right? He did that, and then John's in jail. And John is already struggling. I'm in jail. So I'm in jail, maybe this isn't the Christ. And yet John, because of instruction from God the Father, when the Spirit like a dove came and abode on Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John waited to identify him with the sign that the Father said, and he then baptized Jesus. Right? And so, but now look at Matthew chapter 11. This will help us. John's in a similar situation, predicament, that the apostles are soon going to be in, and Jesus uses the same word, offended, that he did in verse 1. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. It says, John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, unto Jesus, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Are you blown away by that? John the Baptist, right? And the Bible told us in Matthew 11 that he's the greatest ever born of a woman. And yet, the Bible says, at least the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So a believer, the greatest born of a woman still must be born again, right? But John, who had already declared Christ, was preaching faith and repentance in that Messiah, he said, are you he? Why? He was in prison. Conditions weren't good. He probably could sense that his life wasn't going to last that long. And this isn't the way it's supposed to work out. And then look at Jesus' response. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, to the men that John had sent, go and show John again those things which you hear and see. Blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. Dead are raised. The poor and the gospel preached. Blessed is he. Now this is the final instruction he sends to John. Blessed is he, whoever shall not be offended. You see, what we have to understand is in our flesh, when life doesn't go the way we think, we are offended by Christ. And Jesus is telling John, I imagine these words bolstered John. It's the words of Christ always do, right? His disciples came back to him and shared these words for him. And I don't know how you can do this, but God's grace would be sufficient, as we read 2 Corinthians 12. I think John with joy had his head covered. How do you do that? Last words that were ever transmitted to John, the best we can tell is, John, don't be offended. John, don't be offended. John, I've got this. I am the one. John. And so then, Jesus gives those instructions. And John, can you imagine? I don't know. He doesn't have a Bible that he can go through in prison. Don't be offended. Whatever they do to me, don't be offended. And so Jesus is instructing them, but what's important is use truth to help others. Jesus gave this to them. And look what Jesus says. He's dealing with his apostles in verse 2. He's telling them to him straight. This is not like, hey, exactly why I signed up for Christianity. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Now, we don't take that as significant. The closest thing that in certain parts of Cincinnati, right, is if you, remember the Mormon video we saw the other night with the young man that left Mormonism and was truly born again? And he was, you know, just ostracized and kicked out, called an antichrist and all of that. That's very similar what it would be to be kicked out of the synagogue. So Jesus is a very emotional thing. It is, that those are my people. Those are my kin. The synagogues were local areas of fellowship for reading and worship of the Lord. And so you get kicked out of that, it's like, where do I go? So Jesus is not only saying that, he said, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God service. So now Jesus, he's talking to 11. So it's not like there were thousands. And you could go, man, I wonder who's going to get killed. He's talking to 11. He goes, if when they kill you, he's pointing at me. It's 11. When they kill you, they think that they're on God's service. What did he say before that? Don't believe. But he gives them truth. It'd be a blessing. We need to learn to do it as well. Now then, verse 3, he tells them why. Why would anybody do this to us? He said, and these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father Christ must increase and John must decrease, right? So if you did, I must decrease, Christ must increase. The less of me, more of Christ. Less of me, more of Christ, right? Get over yourself, right? Several people in my life, in a good way, have looked at me and said, get over yourself, Steve. Every day, I'm better off if I look in the mirror and go, get over yourself. You know, there's a lot of focus on Steve here. I preach three times a week. But if I remember this, it's not about me. This is about the truth of God's word, and I've got to remember that. Get over myself. Don't worry. Just try to walk with Christ. And that's the battle I've got to fight. But understand this, that he said, it's because they don't know the Father. It's not. When people would kill them thinking they're doing God's service, it's because they don't know the Father. And if they don't know the Father, who else do we know they don't know? They don't know Jesus. Right? So, what that will do is, you can kind of say, okay, it's not my problem. Not my issue. Right? But I think there's a second. I think, and this would be tough. Can you imagine if there's ever a time in America where if we wanted to meet like this, that we would be threatened with our lives? That happens all throughout the world. We are blessed with the freedoms we have. But if we were threatened with our lives. What the Lord wants us to do is, he said, I want you to know why they're doing this is because they don't know the Father. And I think he tells them that so that they would have compassion, because the disciples understood this. For those that don't know the Father, they don't know the Son, and their destiny without Jesus Christ is eternity in the lake of fire. Folks, if we understand that, we should have pity, compassion, love on people that don't know Christ, even those that would kill us. That's why I think Jesus wants us to know. So, remember, when you're dispensing truth, you know, you need to help them understand what the truth is, right? And then you need to help them understand why. Not always, but this is what Jesus is doing. He's giving them, I want to give you this truth. What is the truth? And I want to tell you why. Secondly, there's a timing of it. Look at verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. And so, it's giving truth at the right time. He said, look, I didn't give them to you at the beginning, because I was with you. And there's a time and a place where we can receive this kind of truth. And Jesus was clear that, when I witness to people and I tell them about Jesus Christ, I say, you need to consider the cost. Jesus just isn't about a ticket to heaven. It's about a change in the purpose of your life to live for Jesus. Most people, everybody wants to go to heaven. What do I have to do to go to heaven, preacher? Just tell me. If it's not too bad, I'll do it. Even if it's money, I'll do it. I could probably get some kind of deal that says, you know, buy one, get one free, and you're going to get to pay. They almost do that on television. But it's, people are willing to do something to go to heaven. Not willing to give up control. Not willing to give up the keys to their life. Right? And so, Jesus, but he said, consider the cost, but Jesus didn't share all things with them. He didn't tell them at the beginning that they would be put out of the synagogues. He didn't tell them at the beginning that they would be killed. He's teaching them, and he was with them and discipling them and teaching them. Look at Proverbs 25 in your notes. Proverbs chapter 25. Anybody that was maybe I'm aging myself, an Elizabeth Elliot fan? Anybody remember Elizabeth Elliot? Uh-huh. That's good. Do you remember she always say, you know, like apples of gold? Proverbs 25:11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver in value. Verse 12, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and a wind without rain. A long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Words that, the old statement, sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Have you ever said that? Did you ever hear that? Sensitive generation growing up ever. But no, it's okay. But that's false. Words hurt, don't they? And sticks and stones will still break your bones, but when it's, we used to grow up that way, right? Sticks and stones will break my bones. Words hurt. And so what we have to do is give truth at the right time. We need to understand what truth is, give it at the right time. Look at Ecclesiastes 3:7, in your notes. Ecclesiastes, you guys should, I want to train you well enough. Anytime I mention Ecclesiastes, you should go. Red flag. Ecclesiastes is probably one of the most unique books of the Bible. It's written from under the sun, from man's perspective. So most cult groups use Ecclesiastes to establish false doctrine. But there's some general truth from man's perspective. It says in 3:7, it says there's a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, time to speak. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Matthew 7:6, I'll explain why I put this in here, says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. There is a time to give truth to someone, right? There's a time to teach someone. I can't teach someone that's not teaching. Right? It's, I can't force someone to eat what they won't eat. Right? So you have to, this is where wisdom comes in, right? Because in Ecclesiastes it says there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. But how do you know? You got to talk more. It's wisdom. Wisdom is being able to execute righteous judgment, right? And when? When do I shut up? When do I speak? There's a lot to be swift to hear. Listen. And so Jesus gave this instruction at the very appropriate time. We can learn from him that this is important. Truth sometimes. I didn't say gospel. I cannot find an example when gospel is ever inappropriate. If someone tells me to be quiet or they don't want to hear it, I don't cram it down their throat, nor should we be jerks. So I don't do that. The gospel is always appropriate. But what I'm talking about is instruction to people. There are many times that people cannot receive their instruction. And so when it talks about, pearls before swine, when it talks about, not giving that which is holy to dogs so they don't trample it, so we ought to be respectful with God's truth, but the gospel, this is my belief, I cannot find one example in the Bible where the gospel is ever inappropriate to share. But there's a lot of truth in the Bible. Right? Most of the Bible, now, you guys can tell me no one's ever disagree with me, but most of the Bible is written to Christians. It's not written for lost people. That's why so many lost people get confused by the Bible, because they think it's telling me to do all these good things so I can go to heaven. No, you first must be a Christian. You first must be born again. Then these are our instructions for how we honor Jesus, not how we get to heaven. But people don't understand. And so what we have to know is there's a ton of truth. You know, because you've heard me say this before. It really gets on my nerves. I don't think I've heard anybody from Hope say this. So if you have, then I've forgotten. I apologize. I do forget a lot. Don't say this to me. All that really matters is that you believe in Jesus. When people tell me that, usually what I'll say is, God sure did waste a lot of time with 66 books then, didn't he? It's all about Jesus, but it's just not about salvation. The gospel is the greatest point in history. I'm not denying that. But how do you honor Christ? That's what the Bible's about. How we live for him and its truth. So we use truth to help others. But there's a timing for truth. But make sure you don't misunderstand this. I believe the gospel is always appropriate and always timely. There's other truth that you have to ask God for wisdom. Do I share this with him? Do I not share this with them? And there is agony over that. Maybe I feel more agony over that in ministry. But I really believe this. I think every true believer, it's just not with your kids, but God puts you in people's lives for you to be a blessing to them. And do you not agonize over, do I say anything ever? We ought to agonize and realize this. Well, it's true. That doesn't mean now is the right time. You've got to be on your knees before the Lord. This was the perfect time that Jesus was instructing them. He said, hey guys, when you're put out of the synagogue, when they kill you, it's because they don't know the Father. But I want to tell you, I didn't tell you beforehand because I was with you. Now I'm leaving. You need to know this. Now it's the perfect time. So, that's tough. A lot of people would love rules. There's wisdom involved in serving the Lord, but the beautiful thing is, let it draw you to the Lord. Final thing I'll say, how do you know the right timing to share something? I believe this. I'll keep studying my Bible because I don't want to give bad instruction, nor do I want to give excuses for people not following the Lord. Don't, let me be clear, always share the gospel. Don't wait for peace. When you have those difficult moments where you're not sure what wisdom is, don't act until you have peace. Now remember this morning's message, we were not given the spirit of fear. So there's times we can use fear as our excuse to go, I don't have peace, brother. I'm not doing anything. Well, get over your fear and then seek the peace of the Lord, right? Always share the gospel. Don't wait for peace. The gospel is always But the Lord, his objective is that we have peace. Be comfortable with that. You know, I think this is okay. Did I already share this? Maybe I did. Maybe my wife will come. I'll share this. I think. You know, we got a call a couple weeks ago. Maybe I didn't share this publicly. You know, so Josh got engaged. We went down the day after Thanksgiving. Got engaged. We got a call the Sunday after. You know, we drove back all day Saturday. Got back. Got a call Sunday after. Very next Sunday. Hey, how you doing? Josh and Emily, his fiance. Hey, we were thinking about getting married on December 29th this year. And we just wanted to see what you thought about that. And anybody that knows me, what would I say? Awesome! That's great, right? I mean, my perspective is, when you know, it's getting married, right? And so, but I also said, you know, so Emily's on the phone too, right? And I told Emily this. I said, Emily, this sounds like a horror idea. I said, are you okay with this? And I told her, I said, Emily, don't do this unless you have peace. So they needed to talk to, they already talked to the mom, it's okay, they need to talk to a few others. And you know, ultimately I think they're getting married in May and June. Good surprise when they come up here for Christmas. I don't think so, but it is, and it's not, it's not inappropriately motivated, I don't think. You know, every man, there's always a bonus, but it's from his perspective, but yeah, I don't think that's the motive. So, but I told Emily, I said, don't do this, Emily, don't get married if you don't have peace. Do you think it'll, and I told Josh, I said, you want your woman to be at peace with this, so that she will be at peace till death. So it looks like May or June. And I'm glad. And I would always instruct, so when you're looking for the right time for the Lord, is ask the Lord and say, Lord, let's say I'm wrong. You can tell the Lord this. Say, Lord, my pastor told me not to do anything until I have peace. I do not have peace. If you want me to do this, please give me peace about this. God can overcome bad preaching. Beg the Lord to give you peace. It's still difficult to do hard things. It's still difficult to deliver difficult messages. Jesus, this is not, he's not like, hey, I can't wait to tell them that they're going to get killed. But he needs to share truth with them because so because they're about to enter a new world that is going to put them on a different level and ultimately make them martyrs for Christ. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. So I said, seek truth to avoid unnecessary sorrow. This is important. Look at verse 5 and 6. He says, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, where do you go? Just chew on that for a little bit. The Lord wants our questions. Now, this is important. Look at your notes, and don't forget this. My notes tell you this. The Lord welcomes our questions. Simply have a humble spirit and a non-demanding spirit. That's important. We don't go to the Lord demanding anything. He's God and we are not, right? Make sure we understand that. But He is a wonderful God. He is a loving God. He is a warm God. I mean, there's no parent that's come close to the love He has for His children. So always remember that. He wants you to ask questions. He said, I told you I'm going away, but nobody's asked me, where am I going? And he says this because of that. Look, verse 6. Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. The Lord says, you know, ask me. Now, this is important. Sometimes when you have questions, the answers are right here. It is amazing to me. When people go, I'm wondering what the Lord would have me to do, I'll say, I know. Okay, so the Bible gives me specific instruction to the thing you're wrestling with. And it says, don't do that. Or it says, do that, right? That's the beautiful thing. So the first thing you have, and this is fun, I have questions all the time. You know how kind of I preach? One, I try to do verse by verse and study, understand it. But you know what I also do? I try to wonder what questions would you have? Or what questions should I have? If you saw, I Google it. I just think, I just ask all kinds of questions. I got different websites that I'll use. I got a lot of questions. Don't you have a lot of questions? That's so funny, right? I mean, I have so many Bible studies. I say, any questions? No questions. I'll go, great, can you teach me tonight then, since you don't have any questions? Because I have a ton. Teach me. But, you know, it's like, It's the Lord wants our questions. He sort of rebukes them. And now here's the thing. He says, when we don't seek truth, we have unnecessary sorrow. So let it be a red flag. There is a time for sorrow. But he was saying in verse 6, he said, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. And so I want you to just have that be a trigger. When you're overwhelmed with sorrow, see, I think it's okay to have sorrow. I don't think I can find it. But I think letting sorrow overwhelm you or overtake you is where we can fall into sin, right? Where we become almost a pity party, self-indulgent with sorrow. Sorrow, look, this world, Jesus was a man of sorrows, okay? With grief. But what we see from him is he didn't let that sorrow overwhelm him. We see that he was almost overwhelmed. He could be overwhelmed, but when he was about to go to the cross, we'll see that here soon. Not tonight, but so it's here's the key is when you have sorrow, the first thing is it may be that we need to learn some more things from the Bible. Let's look at your notes to John chapter 20. I want you to see how Jesus operates here in John chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. As Jesus has risen from the dead here in John chapter 20, and Mary's at the tomb, and she doesn't recognize Jesus yet. But look at verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. Mary was weeping because she didn't know the truth. Tears would be wiped away when she realized Jesus has risen from the dead. Verse 12. And she sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Verse 13. Chapter 12. And they said unto her, these angels, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, the angels knew the truth. They weren't weeping. she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. She didn't know the truth yet. Jesus said to her, woman, why do you weep? Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him. I will take him away. See, she had great sorrow until Jesus looked at her and said, Mary. And she worshipped. See, sometimes we have undue sorrow. And sometimes, now this is the tough part. The Lord isn't always going to tell you why. I don't even think we will know all the whys when we get to heaven. Now maybe I'm wrong about that. God is a great God. He has not promised to explain everything. You find a verse in the Bible that says that. And I don't want to give false hope for that, because remember, God will give to us exactly what we need. And we will know all that we need to know. And he doesn't answer to us. That's all I tell you is I don't want to make God sound like a jerk. But when we're in heaven, we will understand he does everything perfectly. And so, but it's lack of truth that made Mary sorrowful. Now, look at this in Luke 22:45, which again, Jesus found them sleeping in the garden. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping. Why? Sorrow. I like this verse because my family knows this. I tell them this. My cure for sorrow, discouragement, I sleep. And that is not the cure for sorrow. And I'm not saying one night you can't sleep and just maybe something to try to get over it. But if you can't get over it, I just want to tell you that sleep is not the solution. Now, some of you, you say when you're upset, you can never sleep. Well, there's others. The disciples said they slept in the garden for a song. They would rather sleep than think. That's not Bible instruction. I just give you that to say truth will set us free in all instances, right? And so what we need to do is seek the Lord's face and seek him. And there may come a time where you say, God is not going to tell me why. And I accept that. And I will serve him, and I will not let this sorrow overcome me. He has spoken. I will trust him. But I think it's okay. Seek the truth of God's word. Understand that, because remember, we will try every remedy under the sun except the truth. So if you're overwhelmed with sorrow, and sorrow is your struggle, I'm convinced of this, truth will set you free. Not only when Jesus was talking in John 8 about the truth setting you free, he is dealing with that for every single believer. The truth will still set every single believer free. We get entangled in the web of the world, in the deceit of the devil, in the ways of the world, and the truth will set us free. This book is our great set freer, right? That's it. Final thought, I want you to look at verse 7. Jesus says in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. There's some sadness that Jesus has to say that. But he is so patient with us. He says, guys, I'm telling you the truth. It is expedient. It's critical. It's more important than you can ever imagine. Is it expedient for you that I go away? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, what you have to understand, remember, he's speaking to the 11. We've gone through this before. Those 11 are not just individual Christians. They are, but they are more than that. They represent that first church at Jerusalem. So Jesus sends the Comforter to come alongside his churches in a special way, in a special ministry, to do dramatic things. Because I want you to understand, and this will just be a little preview for next week, the work of the Holy Spirit will dramatically change when Jesus rises from the dead. The gospel message will be taken broadly, greatly, dramatically to the world. The command is that we take the gospel to every creature. Bible says salvation was first brought to the Jews. It was. Jesus echoed that as well. The gospel was never taken broadly to Gentiles until after the resurrection. And Jesus says, oh, it's expedient. And I want to tell you, before you think about this, before you and I say, oh, it would be better if we had Jesus here. I mean, okay, if you ask me, I'd say, I think I would serve the Lord better if Jesus was right here with me. Jesus says it's not better. I'm disagreeing with Jesus. That is not a good place to be. And so, he tells the apostles, it is so good that I'm going away. So the Holy Spirit will come, do all these things, and then we'll talk next week about the broad and expanded, incredible, vast ministry that is why you and I as Gentiles have the gospel brought to us. Aren't we glad about that? Aren't we glad that it wasn't just for the Jews and that the Jews finally got the message and said, take it to everybody? Here's the thought, the final thought. Look for blessings of God's decisions. That's what Jesus is teaching. They were filled with sorrow, he said. And what he's telling them is, good things are going to happen when I leave. And there's no way that they could imagine. Yeah, sure. Great. No, we fall apart if somebody moves in our families, right? If they, oh, you know me, my kids, right? Oh, they're from North Carolina. They're rebellion against God. Why don't they? No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad they have their homes and serve the Lord. And Jesus says, it's better. It's better. There's times that truth won't change your circumstances. This is final. Jesus is giving them truth that'll help them. Jesus is giving them truth at the right time. Jesus is helping them understand how things will be, but it's not going to change the circumstances. What he says is, learn joys in my decisions. Easier preached than lived. What he says is, learn joys in what I decide. I decide, Jesus says, is always best. Remember, I want to make sure I wasn't preaching tonight that there's a truth nugget in the Bible that'll solve all your problems, and you'll be like, woo-hoo, man, Lord, I cannot wait. No, the truth will help set you free, but it may not change your circumstances. And will you look for the good in God's decisions, knowing this? All things work together for good to those who love God, who are called to believe in His words. It's in your notes. You see, that's...